Thank you.
You're welcome.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing together our gathering song, My Shepherd, You Supply My Need.
Is my strength.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And the people also say, and also with you.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain.
Let us pray. O Lord Christ, good shepherd of the sheep, you seek the lost and guide us into your fold. Feed us, and we shall be satisfied. Heal us, and we shall be whole. Make us one with you, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us hear our first reading.
A reading from Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priest family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who is sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you, to all the people of Israel, that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom was crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, and has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which they must be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures,
and leads me beside still waters.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies and anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
And the second reading.
The second reading is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Nancy, you're muted.
Sorry, having trouble with it.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace are ours in the name of our God who is love. We are now 4 weeks out from celebrating the resurrection, and our readings put us in a place of conflict. First, there's the conflict between Peter, John, and the religious authorities. Then there's conflict between what it is to be a good shepherd versus a hired hand. where will the conflict take us? And how will God use it for good? At this point in the book of Acts, Peter and John have healed a man who was lame from birth. It has caused a stir amongst the people, who recognize a man who went from begging all of his life to now walking and praising God. It catches the people's attention as they hear Peter preach on a new definition of power. Peter has proclaimed, "O Israelites, why does this turn of events take you by such complete surprise? And why stare at us as if our power made him walk? No, faith in Jesus put this man on his feet. Friends, I know you had no idea what you were doing when you killed Jesus, and neither did your leaders, but God knew exactly what you were doing, and God has used it to fulfill God's plans." The attention and the growing publicity around Peter's public proclamation of the wrongness in killing an innocent man and how God would use it now for good doesn't sit well with the authorities in power. So they arrest both Peter and John. There are twists and turns as the friction escalates. The people hold their breath to hear the verdict. If there were an ancient evening news hour, the conflicting battles for power and affirmation of who is right and who is wrong would dominate. By the time Peter and John enact the curative power of the Holy Spirit to heal the paralyzed man, who heretofore had been at the bottom of the social ladder in the empire, the system they know has become threatened. People generally don't like a shift in the status quo, whether it's a beggar who is scorned, pitied, unknown and only seen for his lack of worth in the system, or a man killed on the cross for his own powerful message and witness. The empire is not happy. Too much attention through the repeated sharing of the story that began first as a conflict and moves ultimately toward some sort of a shift. Why were Peter and John talking about this risen Jesus? Death ought to be permanent. Death ought to have silenced the one who died. And to offer new hope and new life to one of the least of these, a former beggar, and to do it in Jesus's name and through the power of the Holy Spirit? This is surprising and potentially dangerous stuff if what you care about most is maintaining power as it has been. Power in the Acts of the Apostles is about life and life restored, life renewed, life recovered. The stories in Acts resound with the hope of the shepherd in Psalm 23, which is why that psalm is so often heard at death and at funerals. The shepherd's power is not manipulative. The shepherd offers the shepherd's presence, tender care, and nourishing attention, not an attempt to suppress and control. The good shepherd of Psalm 23 restores our soul. Or put another way, the good shepherd brings us back, but not by chasing us down or threatening us or trapping us into doing something poorly decided upon out of fear. The shepherd pursues us out of love because each and every one of us is worth pursuing. I don't know much about farming, except that I'm sure it helps to love your flock. Like anything else, if you're solely in it for the money, your behavior will be reflected in the outcome of your work. Money is in itself not evil. Needing funds to live our lives is in itself certainly not wrong. But when love flows into and through the work that we do, we tend to find more joy ourselves, more daily peace, in the present and experience more life and growth and smiles among our flock. Do sheep smile? I have no idea, but they surely know when they are loved, and I am sure that they respond in kind. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. What exactly makes him good? It's the summary of all we've seen in his ministry on earth. It's also summed up in his truly knowing his flock and his willingness to lay down his life for his flock. Unlike the hired hand, he doesn't run in fear at the first sign of conflict or trouble. This is the example Peter and John will follow. Jesus knows us. Jesus stays with us. He walks with us and carries us on his shoulder when we can't walk any longer. This is good news for us now, as so many people are both tired and lonely. This is good news for us because even in death, we know we have nothing to fear with him still beside us. This is powerful good news that changes our lives. There's probably a little of the hired hand in each of us when it comes to power. What do we do when faced with conflict? A pickup truck had a bumper sticker that said, "When the going gets tough, the tough go fishing." On the back of the truck was a gun rack, but instead of guns, there were fishing rods. This driver was true to his word. But if Jesus had a bumper sticker, it would read something like, "When the going gets tough, I am all in." All in. That's what it means to be a good shepherd. And while none of us is the good shepherd, we each have a little bit of that in us as well. When we're passionate about following our call, motivated and given the strength through God's love. All in brings new life where there seemed to be no hope. All in is someone like Yannette from Cuba, who became a US citizen earlier this week. Yannette works in an elementary school preparing the food for the children's lunch. As she's filmed cutting the broccoli, she says to the camera, "I want the children to feel my love in every vegetable, every piece of cheese, in every bite they take." On the morning that she returned to school, to work in the kitchen after her ceremony at the courthouse, the children, to her surprise, had lined the halls to welcome her back into the building, each of them waving American flags. One little girl called out, "You cook the best food ever, Yannette." I think she knows that they love her, and I am sure that they know that they are her flock. In this season of Eastertide, the good news is that the Good Shepherd knows us, walks with us everywhere, and loves us with such love that he is willing to give up his life for us. In response to such grace, we too have a choice in how we show up for each other. The question for us is, when God calls us to be used for God's good, even amidst conflict, how will we respond? Amen. Let us